we spent an entire Sunday, or at least the message, giving a quick overview of the five gifts found here in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, what some refer to today as apest, apostle, prophet, evangelist, shepherd, and teacher. And over the course of the next 5 weeks, we want to spend time on each of the gifts and try to help us discern where you might fit. What is your primary calling? And I mentioned back on that last Sunday that we talked about it, that Jesus possessed all those gifts perfectly. After all, Jesus was and still is the image of the invisible God. And if we humans are created in God's image, then we all possess all those gifts, at least at some level. But often they lie dormant. And the truth is that although we are made in God's image, we have all been marred by the fall in our own sinful nature. And I know that this might come as a shock to some of you, but none of us are perfect like Jesus was. But the moment that we repent of our own sinfulness and we put our faith in Jesus Christ as the only source of our salvation, then God sends His Holy Spirit into us and He gives us those gifts that He originally blessed us with. He gives us the opportunity for those to come out, or they should come out. But unfortunately for many Christians, they just continue to lie dormant throughout most of their life. Several years ago, a Korean pastor was visiting the United States for several months, and he visited many, many different churches, many different sizes, and many different denominations. And his one summary of all the visits that he made to all the different churches in the United States was, "It's amazing what you can accomplish without the Holy Spirit." But just imagine what we could accomplish with the Holy Spirit. Actually, the Holy Spirit is so powerful that we can't even really fully imagine. Prior to leaving the earth to sit on the throne with God the Father, Jesus promised to send us a helper that would come and change us forever, change everything about us. Jesus says in John chapter 14, "I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you." The reality that God lies within every believer should overwhelm us. It is a truth that we can't really even fully grasp. And Paul tells us at the beginning of our letter to the church at Ephesus that the Holy Spirit is given to believers as a promise, a pledge of our salvation, not by us, but by God the Father and Jesus the Son. "Having believed, you are marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of His glory." Neil Cole, in his book Primal Fire, Reigniting the Church with the Five Gifts of Jesus, which I do believe is probably the best book out there about these five gifts, writes, "After looking at the Bible and all the gifts that are given through the Holy Spirit, says, everything necessary to live a godly life full of fruitfulness, power, and Christ's presence dwells within every man, woman, and child who is in Christ." So why doesn't that happen that often? The truth is that we can be indwelt with the Holy Spirit, but not filled with the Holy Spirit. We can be filled with the Holy Spirit and not allow the Holy Spirit to come out of us. As Christians, the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, dwells within us, but he or she is not meant to stay there. She's supposed to come out through us. And the church is to blame as well, because over the years, we have not done a very good job of allowing the Holy Spirit to come out of people, especially when it comes to those five gifts listed, other than the shepherd and the teacher. We focused mostly on those two. And then not only have we not just focused only on those two, we usually only bring those two gifts out of certain people who we call the pastors. Some churches have focused on the evangelistic gift, while almost all of them have disregarded the apostle and the prophet. And we do so by saying things like, oh, well, that was back then. That applied only to a certain time. That doesn't apply to the church today. But nowhere in the Bible does it say that. In fact, it says just the opposite. Paul says in our passage this morning that Jesus gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors, and some to be teachers. Actually, there are four passages in the New Testament that talk about spiritual gifts. And over the years, the traditional teaching has been that we just kind of lump them all together, and we say that God has given us, well, maybe one or several of the spiritual gifts. But we need to take those passages in their context. And many today believe that this passage from Ephesians chapter 4 is unique. That these five callings, apostle, prophet, evangelist, shepherd, and teacher, are the primary callings that Jesus gives to believers. And the others are just listings or positions that have been filled in the church at different times. We're called to function out of our primary calling. And the ideal is for us to be serving in the different positions and roles out of that primary ministry calling most of the time. Then the church is functioning as the church was meant to function. You see, when it comes to this fivefold ministry calling, each of us has been given one of those to be our primary ministry calling. But to each one, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. And another problem that has developed over the years is the traditional teaching that this passage from Ephesians chapter 4 in those five positions or five roles are leadership positions. But again, the verse doesn't say that. It says to each one, which refers to every member of the church, not just leaders. What the verse says is that each one has received a portion of grace in one of five roles. And that grace has come to us in the form of a call to be one of five types of people. So my question is, what are we supposed to be doing with those once we figure them out? And the answer is in our passage this morning as well. To equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. As Christians, that is our primary purpose during our life here on earth. Everything else that we do is peripheral. Building up the body of Christ or expanding the kingdom of God here on earth. Just think of how much time we spend on things that have absolutely nothing to do with our primary purpose as Christians. And yes, I know we all have to work and we all have to make a living. But think about all the other times that we do different things that really have nothing to do with building up the kingdom of God. Think about if we took all the time and the money that we spent on sports to building up the kingdom of God, then we might be able to really make a difference in this world, or whatever else our hobbies might be. You see, the church is functioning best as the church when it is a mixture of all five of those ministries, many different people functioning out of their primary calling in each of those areas. I had breakfast this past week with a couple of men who have spent lots of time studying about this APEST passage and the fivefold ministry calling. And the two shared a couple different analogies that might be helpful to what it's really all about. And one of them was that of a basketball team. If you took two basketball teams and they roughly had the same talent level, and one of the teams had five guards, and the other team had a point guard, a swing man, a power forward, a shooting forward, and a center, which one of those five do you think would win? The team with the five different ones, I would say, would win every time. And then the other analogy was that of a family of five, or five people going in a car on a trip together. The apostle is the one who is driving, and his or her foot is on the accelerator, and he or she knows exactly where he or she wants to go, and they want to get there as quick as possible. The prophet is the one who has his foot on the brake. Whoa, wait a minute here. Let's at least take a look at the map and make sure we're going on the right course. The shepherd, well, he or she is the one who cares for the people in the car. Have you had enough to eat or drink? Does anybody need to stop and go to the bathroom? The teacher, well, she wants to stop along the way and see all the sites, especially the historical ones. She wants to learn about them and to show others so she can teach others. Anybody know who the evangelist is? The evangelist is the one in the car who wants to pick up the shabby hitchhiker along the side of the road. And I like the analogy of the car because it fits the church much better. Because you know that not everyone in that car is going to get along. When that person wants to stop and go to the bathroom, the apostle isn't going to want to stop. He or she isn't going to want to stop when the prophet wants to apply the brake, or the teacher wants to stop and learn more. And the apostle is probably driving so fast that he or she never saw the hitchhiker and ran him over. And if they were all shepherds and teachers, they probably aren't going very far. They might be going around the block and maybe stopping at the library every once in a while, but they're not going very far. And if they were all shepherds, there wouldn't be anybody to shepherd, because shepherds aren't very good at allowing people to take care of them. And if they were all prophets, there's a pretty good chance that there's only one left, because they would have killed one another. And let's face it, other than the evangelist, no one wants to stop and pick up the shabby hitchhiker who looks like nobody else in the car. And that really is the perfect analogy of what Jesus wants his church to look like. People with five different ministry callings and always ready to bring in the one who's lost, who doesn't seem to fit in with the rest, ready to bring the one who is lost into the fold. The only way that the church can become the church that Jesus wants us to become is that to recognize that he has created us differently, with different callings and different personalities,
so that we can all come together and more fully become the body that he's created us to be. And so this morning, though it took us a long time to get there, we want to focus on the most least used gift out of all of them, the apostolic gift. And the most interesting thing about it is the term apostle is found almost 80 times in the New Testament. The word pastor, once. Paul's letters to Timothy and Titus are often referred to as the pastoral epistles, and yet Paul, Timothy, and Titus most often functioned as apostles. Paul refers to himself over and over again as an apostle of Jesus Christ. Apostles are the ones that are sent out. They are sent out by God with a specific task to build up the kingdom of God, the body of Christ. Mature apostles are those who are mature enough to lead others to do the same. And whereas shepherds and teachers can often stay in one ministry, one church for a long time, apostles usually move around. Since they are the sent ones, and they often need to be on the go, they get antsy pretty quickly. They often feel called to a specific group of people. Peter was an apostle to the Jews. Paul was an apostle to the Gentiles. Today, it might be experienced as a calling to a group of people, like those who are disenfranchised or the poor or the divorced, or those that might be addicted to drugs or alcohol, or those from broken homes, or to single mothers. Apostles are the pioneers. They like to take risks. They are uncomfortable with the status quo. They are the entrepreneurs that go out into the community interacting with many different types of people. They always want to try new things. Steve Jobs, the founder of Apple, was the epitome of an apostle, though not a Christian apostle. Christian apostles are often looking for new places and new people to advance Christianity and spread the kingdom of God here on earth. They are church planters and missionaries. Jesus himself was the ultimate apostle. He was sent by God with a clear purpose here on earth. And when he was about 30 years old, he set out to fulfill what God had sent him to do. And Jesus knew where God's mission for him would lead him. It would lead him to and through the cross. And after his death and resurrection, and just before his ascension back into heaven, he says to his original apostles, as recorded in the Gospel of John, "As the Father sent me, I am sending you." Our former lead pastor, Larry Augsburger, was an apostle. He saw the vision that God had given him for building the church, and he set forth on carrying out the vision. On our current elder team, Alex is more the apostle than the rest of us. It is why he's become so active in the Grove. And it is well balanced by the shepherd and the teacher in him. There are many benefits of apostles. They are the ones who take us outside of our comfort zone. They are the ones who push us to carry out God's great commission, go. They enjoy taking risks, sometimes even if they fail. They focus on the future, on moving forward, with the emphasis on moving. They're always trying to envision a new or a better way of doing something. And they feel discontent when things stay the same for too long, which might be a benefit or a drawback. Why do we need apostles in the church? Because if we didn't, we would all be circling the wagons. We would all get very comfortable and content with the way things are. This past week, I was sharing or talking with someone from a congregation which has really been struggling the past several years. And he said, well, the only ones that are left are mostly older people. And a third person that was with us said, well, what do you see as the vision or the future of the church? And in all honesty, he said, I think just what we are and what we're doing, we're all pretty comfortable at what we're doing. We've all done our time. And I had this overwhelming sadness come over me. Because you know what their future is? It's downhill. And then I thought, it doesn't really even need to be a congregation of older people. You give just about any congregation the opportunity just to sit and be comfortable. Most everybody will take it, especially in our busy culture today. And that is the majority of our human natures. But the one problem with that is that's not God's call on our lives. God's primary call on our lives is to go out, to preach the good news, to share the gospel, to expand the kingdom of God, to make disciples of all peoples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to follow Jesus. If we're not doing that as a church, then no matter what size we are, we might as well close the doors. We need apostles to get us out of our comfort zone, to challenge us to want to go out, to be the ones who lead us, to take risks, even when they might fail, to question the status quo. And just being honest here, as one who's not an apostle, I say this with some fear and trepidation. Because there are drawbacks or shadow side of apostles as well. Just like there are drawbacks and shadow sides to all five of our primary ministry gifts. The drawbacks of an apostle is that they're often demanding and insensitive to other people. They get discouraged easily by how slow the organization is moving. They don't do very good on committees, which I'm not sure is a positive or a negative. And not only do they feel discomfort when things are moving slow, they often create discomfort in other people. And some apostles have the big vision, where they want us to go, but aren't so good at working out the details, which creates frustrations as well. We need to remember that no gift is good by itself. They all have positives and they all have negatives. Balance is the most important. Apostles are often balanced by prophets, who we're going to look at next week, and shepherds. The main scriptural mantra for an apostle is probably that from the Apostle Paul in our call to worship this morning from Philippians chapter 3. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So over the course of the next 5 weeks, 4 weeks after today, our goal is to hopefully to discover where all of us fit in the fivefold ministry callings of Ephesians chapter 4. And on your outline this morning, at the very bottom, is your homework, which some have already done when we spoke about it the last time. But there's two surveys you can do for free. And you can go online and take it. You might even want to do both. You might want to talk to the people that know you best, your Sunday school class or those that are around you. And are you operating out of your primary ministry calling? Let's pray. Lord God, we do have so much to be thankful for. We're thankful for the willingness of so many people to offer their gifts and their talents in many, many different ways. But Lord, we also know that we have also stumbled in not being able to really discover what is the primary giftedness that you have placed within us to share you and to expand your kingdom here on earth and to build your church. Lord, it is through your Spirit that you have placed in each of us that you call us to bring forth. Lord, help us to discover over the course of these next many weeks of just what our giftedness is and challenge us to use it to the best of our ability with the power of your Spirit behind us. In his name we pray. Amen.